Welcome to the Reach a Peak podcast experience. This podcast is for athletes of all levels who want to level up their nutrition to level up their game. Join me as I explore the world of nutrition, health, and performance. Each week, I dive into a new topic to help expand your knowledge, separate truth from myth, and change your perspective so you can start winning the right way and reach your peak potential. I'm your host, Alexa, the sports dietitian nutrition coach. Let's go. Let's talk the Nordic diet. Okay, today I'm going to be doing basically a review of the Nordic diet, which is a diet that's come to my attention just in more recent times. Okay, funny enough, but the diet has been around for much longer than that. And as you know, in classic style, I'm going to review it, see, you know, what I like about it, what I don't like about it, and give you my verdict from my perspective using my experience with clients and just the evidence at hand to give you an idea if it's something that's worth considering or if it's just another fad diet. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today. So let's first start with just defining what is the Nordic diet, because maybe it's the first time you've heard it as well. And essentially, the Nordic diet is, it's a way of eating. It's a diet that's focused on locally sourced foods in Scandinavian countries, you know, Nordic countries such as Norway, Denmark, Finland, Iceland, and Sweden. Essentially, that's what the premise is. And it was created way back in 2004 by a group of, you know, scientists, chefs, nutritionists or dietitians, something like that. And it was to address like the health issues that they were noticing in those countries at the time, and as well as the unsustainable practices around farming as well. And from that perspective, you know, the environmental factors, not something I'm going to consider today, but obviously anything that's good for the environment is always going to be a positive when it comes to a diet. So that's just like a more of an FYI, so to speak. Now, I'm going to now detail, because that's a very basic kind of definition. Okay, cool, Alexa. I could have guessed that the Nordic diet is based on the diet, you know, foods available to Nordic countries. But what does it specifically entail? What is it saying you should eat? Is it saying that you shouldn't eat something? And what are the kind of the ins and outs, the details of the diet? So let's get into that right now. So while it does focus on generally whole foods, as you would probably guess with most diets that are presented as a diet of a certain region, it's usually based on whole foods. I'm going to break down the kind of what they say to eat a lot of, what they see to eat, you know, in moderation, in classic sense, and then obviously also what they say to not eat as well. Okay, so in terms of what to eat, the Nordic diet says, you know, eat your fruits, eat your veggies. Obviously, that would be a very weird diet if it said you couldn't eat that. You know, but it also does promote, you know, whole grains, which is a great thing to see. It promotes nuts and seeds, breads, specifically says rye breads, but, you know, just good quality breads in general. Seafood and fish, low-fat dairy, herbs and spices, and interestingly, specifically, it promotes canola oil, okay? And it also promotes legumes, I should say, as well as part of the veggie group. But yeah, that's kind of the main things that they say to eat under this diet. So your main kind of food groups are kind of in there, as you can notice, and specifically for like meat, it's more seafood and fish, and I guess you could throw chicken in there as well, and low-fat dairy is the other specific thing. It's not just dairy, they're saying low-fat dairy, which is interesting considering that low-fat dairy is a more modern thing. It's not based on traditional diets like back in the day. But then again, this diet's not presenting itself as a traditional diet of the Viking, whatever. You know, it's not, that's not what it's saying. It's saying the diet of the Nordic countries in today's day and age. So that kind of goes hand in hand. Low-fat dairy is everywhere. Now, in terms of what to eat in moderation, you know, they say free-range eggs, cheese, yogurt, and game meat. Okay, so game meat, obviously, it depends on the region, but that's essentially what they say eat in moderation. Now, what they say to eat more rarely is other red meats and animal fats. So things like beef and lamb and pork would probably fall under that, in just based on my own definitions of it. So that's what they say eat rarely off. So as you can see straight away, it's limiting the amount of refined added sugars and it's limiting the amount of fats in the diet, but it's promoting a very fiber-rich diet, okay? Very fiber-rich diet and a diet that's rich in seafood, which all in all, those things, to, you know, can, all things considered, they're all positive things for a diet. You know, as much as, you know, we can't demonize foods, that's all positive things. You know, eating less saturated fat, eating less added sugars, eating more fiber, eating more seafood, they're all positives. Now, in terms of what they say don't eat is sugar-sweetened beverages, added sugars, obviously, processed meats and other kind of refined fast foods and food additives and takeaways and, you know, all those kind of classic foods that we associate as being as less healthy, they say don't eat. Okay, so as you can see, and they've even mentioned it here in the research that I'm reading out, is it's very similar to a Mediterranean diet. Okay, the biggest difference obviously is that, as you would know of a classic Mediterranean diet, it's promoting a lot of extra virgin olive oil, which is my favorite oil. It's, in my opinion, the best oil, you know, from a health perspective. It's one that most people should be eating, if not all people. But they're promoting in the Nordic diet more so canola oil. So that's interesting. I couldn't find exactly why that is, but yeah, that's just the interesting thing. Now, canola oil gets a lot of bad rap for a lot of people, you know, gurus and stuff like that. It's not as bad as people say it is. Is it as healthy as extra virgin olive oil? Nah, in my opinion, and based on the evidence, and I'm sure most dietitians would agree, extra virgin olive oil does take the cake when it comes to health perspective around oils. And it does have a much more of a balanced, I guess, fat profile than canola oil. But the canola oil itself is not necessarily a bad thing. But that's just an interesting kind of distinction between that and a Mediterranean diet. So now you know exactly what the Mediterranean diet is in a nutshell. So now, quite simply, I'm going to say what I like about it and what I don't like about it. Now, keep in mind that this is, to some degree, my opinion as well, but it's also based on the evidence of behavior change, lifestyle change, and success when it comes to, you know, athletes' nutrition in the long term. So think about it more from a contextual point of view rather than just a, in a specific scientific evidence point of view. There is a lot more nuance to it as well. Okay, so in terms of what I like about it, I honestly like that it does not say limit a whole bunch of carbs. Okay, it's actually refreshing to see a diet say, yes, you can eat potatoes. Yes, you can eat whole grains. Yes, you can eat bread. It's all perfectly fine. So that's a big part, kind of positive, that I've found from looking at this diet. The other kind of big positive is the fact that, yes, it does promote a lot of seafood and a lot of fibrous-rich foods. Okay, it promotes a very whole food-based diet, and that can never be dismissed, especially when it's quite a balanced approach overall, considering it doesn't cut out a huge amount of things, and it definitely does not cut out a bunch of whole foods, which is very, very positive. The other positive thing that I like about it is that it's promoting a lot of different variety in a diet. It doesn't just say you can eat specific type of things, and the fact that it's also based on locally sustainable foods, that's also always a positive because it makes it more affordable, most likely, for the people of the Scandinavian countries in question. And also it just makes it a more environmentally friendly diet, okay? At least on paper. Like, obviously, I don't live in the region, so I can't comment in more specifics. But just from an outsider looking in from the evidence, that's kind of what it is. Now, what I don't like about the diet, now this kind of, I guess, can be addressed for any kind of diet, even the ones that are quite robust and found in evidence to be very good, like the Mediterranean diet is a classic example to use the Mediterranean diet again, is the fact that it still does say don't eat these foods, you know, don't eat added sugars, don't eat processed meats and stuff. And while I do get why limiting these foods is important and we can't have too many of them, because I come from the perspective of flexible nutrition, because I'm a flexible nutrition practitioner, whatever you want to call me, and because I promote food flexibility with my clients, it's hard for me to go, yeah, you can't eat this unless there's a specific clinical reason. But if there's not, then just saying you can't eat this, it just doesn't go well with me, for lack of a better word. I'm all about more food flexibility, maintaining 80 to 20% rules, you know, 80% whole foods, 20% fun foods. But, you know, just saying you can't eat certain foods because they're deemed unhealthy, that just doesn't go along with what I found to be successful long-term with clients. And it doesn't support the evidence for a good food relationship. And also it's shown to be unnecessary to be that strict with it. Now, in saying that, there's nothing that really to fault with this diet in the overall picture, because it's saying mostly eat these whole foods and cut out these foods. But I'm just saying that a bit more flexibility, if I were to change the diet, it would be more so, I would make all those things at the bottom that say don't eat, I would say to those to eat in strict moderation, for example, or eat with strategy would be the way I would word it myself, because I like to use the word strategy. I would say eat with strategy, because, you know, enjoying a little bit of those foods is not going to deem, it's not going to damage your health, it's not going to damage your results, especially if you're eating all those other foods on a more consistent basis. So that's really the main thing I don't like about it. The fact that it's promoting canola oil instead of extra virgin olive oil, I don't like that. It's just kind of in between. You know, I personally prefer extra virgin olive oil. The evidence shows that it's a much healthier oil, but there's nothing inherently wrong with canola oil. So it's just kind of, I say with the oil, make a combination, okay? Have some extra virgin olive oil, have some canola oil, maybe throw in some good old coconut oil since everyone loves that. You know, just do what you wish when it comes to the oil side of things. Just make sure your overall diet is where it needs to be. Now, in terms of the more specific evidence, I'm not going to go into the details of each study that was shown in my research here, but essentially overall, the evidence to support that it's a diet that's good for weight loss and it's a diet that's good for heart health and management of blood pressure and things like that, because that's like the main things that we're looking for is the blood pressure, cholesterol management, sugar management, inflammation and weight loss and that sort of stuff. It does show obviously improvements, but the thing is you could argue that any diet that promotes a whole food intake and minimal of the other foods and gets that consistently going is going to be helpful for those things. So it's not saying this is exclusive to the Nordic diet, and it's probably simply for the fact that it does help control calories without calorie counting, to a sense that most people, if they go from a diet that's rich in highly palatable, high fat, high sugar foods to a diet that's mostly whole foods, they're going to probably lose some weight, which in turn will help reduce cholesterol and help in turn reduce blood pressure and so on and so forth. But still, the specific evidence around the studies is still weak and inconsistent. Doesn't mean the diet's not you know, proper. When you look at the actual overall diet, the ins and outs of it are, you know, nothing wrong with it. It's all kind of shrouded in good evidence that those foods are going to be consistently good for you. It's more so that when you look at the diet as a superior solution for some of these things, the evidence is weak and inconsistent. That's all it is. Nothing to do with the diet being bad or not bad or whatever. Overall, in my opinion, the diet's actually pretty good. I have no issues with it. It's more of like a Nordic twist on the classic Mediterranean diet based on foods that are sourced there more so. And other than the fact that it says you can't eat certain foods, where I would probably say maybe if you were to do the Nordic diet, maybe just make it a bit more flexible by allowing yourself some freedom with those foods. Other than that, it's actually pretty good. It's actually a pretty good diet. Like, there's nothing really to fault about it. And what's my verdict? You know, would I recommend it to someone? Well, I mean, with diets, I never really go with the whole, you got to eat this specific foods and that specific foods. As long as it's a whole food diet based that on foods that you enjoy and you can source locally, okay? Because depending on where I work with a client in the world, it will depend on the foods they can source more effectively. Then that's all A-okay. But let's say that I'm working with a Scandinavian athlete. Would I recommend a Nordic diet? Well, I wouldn't unrecommend it. I would just say to have some more flexibility there if you wish. And there's nothing wrong with it. It promotes good quality protein, promotes carbs, promotes fruit and veggies. So yeah, I wouldn't not promote it. It's pretty solid diet. So yeah, hope that answers that question. And if you've got any questions regarding this, okay, if you want me to kind of give you more insight around why I answered in this way for this diet, or if there's a specific diet actually that you want me to review, okay, if there's a diet that you want me to review specifically on the podcast, let me know. Send me an email. Let me know which diet you would like me to review. But if you were curious about the Nordic diet, the bottom line, the verdict, whatever you want to call it, is that it's a solid diet. Just maintain some more flexibility in it and you'll be fine. But at the same time, you don't have to do a Nordic diet. Just do a diet that's based on whole foods and you'll probably get the same result. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That's my review from a dietitian's perspective on the Nordic diet. Hope you've enjoyed and I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. See you later. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast so you can stay up to date whenever I drop an episode. And of course, if you enjoyed today's podcast, remember to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. You can also find me on socials where I regularly post valuable sports nutrition content to help you elevate your sports game, elevate your nutrition game, and reach your peak potential. Simply search for The Climbing Dietitian and be sure to click follow. Until next time, stay safe and stay dedicated. See ya.